yours. The world is yours. It's mine, it's
mine, it's mine. What is going on, everyone? My name is Imran Ali, and welcome to the GPS to Success podcast. I am here with my co-host and man who has yet to fail to irritate me every day, Tyler Matherin. How are you, bro?
I'm good, bro. Nice seeing you.
Nice seeing you. You How's your vacation? You look a little dark, no offense. I know.
In the sun every day.
It's not racist.
Hey, the blacker the better.
Huh?
The blacker the better.
Okay.
All right. You also look good. You've been on your religious path. Now you back on earth with us.
I'm back to normal eating
you back,
food.
You're back
shit.
And centered and eating regular times.
I can think. I can fight. So you had a really cool topic that you wanted to bring up. I think this would be a good time for you to do the intro. We'll see if he can pull it off. But why don't you start off?
So for this podcast, I wanted to talk a little bit about family business. I know that we both are part of a family business, or had family members who once owned businesses, and for either positive or negative reasons, had to transition out of it. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about that. Also kind of get our understanding of what we believe makes a strong family business. Because you're dealing with people with multiple personalities, multiple characteristics, and also have different goals for themselves as well that they want to attain. And also you run the risk of failure, which I think a lot of people are not ready to acknowledge, even though they might not go through it, but not ready to acknowledge the fact that you might fail in some aspects, not the whole business, but in some aspects as well. So I think this is a great way to, on a beautiful Sunday, to definitely chime into it, hear some thoughts on it, kind of have a back and forth dialogue and, some suggestions and conclusions.
Sounds good. I think maybe we should preface the podcast by saying, what some problems are that can arise, maybe.
So you want to go right into the problems?
Yeah, because we need to. Yeah, fuck it. I don't want to explain it. Let's just go right to the problems. Because people can relate to the sadness. You know what I mean?
Right.
So let's show them that we know what they're talking about.
So for me, I would say. For me, I would say when, dealing with the family business, at least from my personal experience, that sometimes your family is not willing to give you that objective or direct advice or comment on bad feedback or bad things that you're doing in the business. Mm-hmm. So, for example...
Because they feel bad? Or what are the
part of the reason, yeah, I would say because they feel bad. But I think also the risk of... It's much different if it's someone who is not a family. If it's a friend or if it's just a colleague or someone that you brought on the team, it's easy to either, let them go or correct their mistakes. But when it's your family, you kind of want to give them second chances and third chances and until, you find that they're just screwing your business all around. So I think that also is a part of the problem. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think...
Given the honest, objective advice, I would say.
When do I ever give advice that's not? I think it's difficult to give objective advice to, let's say, somebody who's not doing well in operating within your business because, let's say, you hired your nephew or something. You're probably looking at it as like, that's my sister's kid and, I know he can do better and X, Y, Z. And that may be true. And maybe if it's the first time you have to take maybe that extra step to show them like, hey, this is how it gets done. This is what we need to do. This is, the next steps. Maybe because they're family, you take the extra piece to show them the ropes. But a lot of people would be scared to really give like the actual objective advice, I would assume, at a certain level because they're scared that they will destroy the relationship that they have with the family member themselves, or in this case, their nephew, They are more worried about destroying that relationship than they are about giving objective advice that matters.
And that's why I think it's a little bit of a negative, because how do you separate business from personal when you're in something that's business and personal?
I mean, you have to look at the person by the job that they're doing, not by who they are. And I think that's the most politically correct 2019 thought that anybody can really have, which is whoever's doing a job, it's not about them as a person or their skin color or where they came from or what kind of shoes that they're wearing. It's like, how well are they getting the job done? Is it meeting your expectations, your criteria?
But wouldn't someone's personal characteristics run into the same thing when they're in a business? Like, if you're a loyal person in real life, I would suggest see some of that flowing into your business.
How does that translate to getting things done, though, is the main question. Loyalty is kind of not the best example, because
let's not use that example,
staying with the company kind of perspective. But let's look at work ethic or something, procrastination, right, or some shit like that.
Right.
If a guy procrastinates a lot, but he hits deadlines, maybe, you know, that's just his working process and you just can't rush that. Right? Because you say, like, I need it done by Friday, and he gives it to you by Friday, and the job is done well, you know, it's not just kind of like haphazardly thrown together. That's just the way it is. And that's just his working style. You can't rush somebody into being somebody they're not, you know what I mean? Like, to deliver on Thursday because you said Friday. So, I mean, we've all been at that point with school when it's just like, this is due on Friday, so like Thursday at night you just start, you know, running away at it. But if they're the kind of person who pushes it off and then misses deadlines and then pushes the project back and stuff like that, then that becomes a problem to your business. So is their personality. As long as the position that they're filling, the results are not affected by their personality, then it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think in my family case, you know, my grandfather owned, you know, many businesses back home, owned a couple of land, owned a couple of properties. And when he had his children managing it, I think where he went wrong is that he wasn't able to separate those two things and actually be a strict dad when it came to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. When it's your kids, it gets almost a little bit harder, but it's more of a disservice to them if you're not telling them the truth, in my opinion, because they need to know where they can improve. And it's not just because, you know, you're pissed off that your business is not doing well. It's like, let's say you hire your kids, or your kids are working with you, however you want to word that, and they're not operating on the highest level for their own potential. When you're not around and the business is all on them, then they're going to be screwed and their life is going to end up worse for, you know, all of the efforts that they put in. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, does that make sense?
Yeah, it helps a little bit, which leads me into a good point, which is, how do you know when to allow someone to do more than what is asked of them in a business?
What do you mean allow? They should be doing more than what's required.
More and above, but I'm saying, like, what if you feel like, or members of your family feel like someone is overstepping their role? Like, for example,
if you don't know Jack, like, you should know, like, what you have the right to discuss. Right. And the way that I'm wording that specifically is, like, if you are not good at business, you're good at a technical role, let's say, like, you're good at doing coding stuff, but you're terrible at making business decisions, don't tell me, don't overstep the boundary of starting to try to influence business decisions, because you're a family member, I guess, now, because that's the topic at hand, that is going to help, you know, that's going to add to the impact or the influence that you would have, and then you're negatively impacting the business as a whole.
Let me give you an example. So a couple weeks back, me and my colleague at work was working on a specific schools. Like, we were targeting schools, and I decided I wanted to help him on one of the targeted schools because, you know, it's a big school, big university. Yeah. We want to make sure that we have enough investments in there and we have enough foresight in there as well. So when I was speaking to him, since he was already on that project, he mentioned that, you know, maybe I should work on my own target schools instead of kind of working with him, because then it creates so much issues, you know, with contacting the same people, when he felt like I needed to be working on other schools where I need to have my presence or the company's presence there.
And from his perspective, I mean, I can understand his perspective, which is he feels like you are... He doesn't feel like you're bad at the biz, at like whatever you guys are doing. It's just like, it's about like, he's already established the relationships. He's already built the groundwork. So it's just kind of, you're going and doubling back. Right. And that could break the relationships that would have with that university in this case, because then they will be like, oh, well, you know, they didn't do the due diligence, that somebody else from their company is already talking to us, and it looks bad on you guys as a whole. Right. So it's just about like, knowing your place. Like, if you're a salesperson and your cousin's a salesperson and you guys are working together or whatever, and your cousin starts to try and encroach on your deals, why is he doing that? Either does he think he's helping, or is he trying to steal the business away?
You know, and that's what I'm trying to bring it back to, the whole concept of what we're talking about with the family business, because, like, I'm, by default, I'm someone who, like, wants to help people in any way I can.
You're so inclusive, it's
like,
yeah.
Right. So I don't look at things like, oh, you have this one project, I have this one project, because I feel like we all need to know what each other's role entails in case that for some reason that I'm not around, you're able to pick up on what I left off. Or if you're not around, I'm able to pick off. Right. So I look at it like in that sense of, we need to be sharing knowledge. We need to know what each other is doing, because then I notice, like, when he's not around or when I'm not around, and someone else has to take on that challenge, right, it's like everyone is lost, and then it's like the project goes down.
Yeah, you need people to kind of cross over and help out. But if they... Okay, so if... Like, let's say this situation specifically. If he doesn't want you doing the contacting, ask him where else you can provide value. Can you help him, like, organize the meetings or something like
that?
Well,
the team itself felt like we should just build our relationship with our schools and manage the front end.
No, I'm going to take the example where, like, this, your example might not be the best one, but let's use the situation where it's like two people, they're both, you know, they have both have customers that they're trying to help or fulfill needs for or try to make a sale to. And you're one and I'm the other, right? So let's say you're like, oh, yo, Imran, let me help you. And obviously you're not trying to steal the business from me. We're just trying to make sure that there's that mutual understanding of what's going on. And I'm like, Tyler, I don't think it's a good idea for you to, you know, reach out to this customer as well, because then it'll just introduce too much confusion or whatever. Why don't you start to just kind of, like, we'll sit down and have a meeting. We'll ask questions. And I can fill you in, or I can start CCing you on emails and start introducing you slowly, like, into the cycle. And it'll be like, I CC'd my colleague, he's helping me out organize, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, when we reach kind of like the final stages of the sale or something like that. Because that at that point, once the customer or whoever is in, it becomes easier to show them, like, because you've already made the sale with the customer. Now, the additional stuff that you're doing, it either will be like, oh, I'm getting additional oversight or additional pair of eyes to look at, you know, my needs, my concerns from them, and it's not going to cost me anything extra, and that's good. Or they're going to be like, you know, they just want to make sure that my solution is the right one, or they just want to make, you know, maybe they're swamped or blah, 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 yada, yada. So it'll help the customer feel good, but you have to do it. It's all about timing. It might be the right thing to do, but a wrong time to do it. So it'll just, you know, that's the answer.
Naturally. So what do you feel about, like, holding your family members accountable I'm not really sure how many people in your family that's in the same business as you or where you guys are working. I'm not sure how many people in your family currently are in the same business as you.
Right.
But how often do you hold them accountable for the roles that they have and also for their F-ups, per se? Or are they spot clean?
Because when I'm in business with somebody, they're not my friend or my family member when it comes to the business. So when I give a critique to somebody who works for me, anybody, whoever it is, friend, family, you know, neighbor's dog, whatever, I'm giving the critique to the person in that role. Like, I'm more giving, sorry, I should say, I'm giving the critique to the role more so than the person who's in that role. So I'm looking at it like project manager or, you know, app developer or coder or what XYZ did not execute on, you know, A, B, C, D, 1, 2, 3. More so than I'm looking at it like, you know, Jonathan didn't execute. Does that make sense? So for me, I take the personal kind of feelings out of it. And then it kind of just helps me be able to give them that, you know, needed criticism. But at the same time, like, I do, like, it's hard to not know it's that they're like your nephew or your cousin or whatever. And maybe because of that, they'll get special treatment and I won't, like, and it's not that I want to give anybody special treatment. It's just like because they're family, I'm going to naturally just be a little bit more soft spoken with them instead of being like, you fucked up. I'll be like, you know, you could do this better or whatever, yada, yada. But again, it's like all depends on how bad the mess up is and what is the impact on my business. Because like I'm, you know, me and I'm all for willing to helping people and stuff. I just don't want to help somebody who's going to mess up what I have existing, because then that means that they've taken away the ability for me to help other people who either could do the job better or just deserve it more.
Yeah, I think we're all a little bit gullible when it comes to our family. It's kind of hard to just keep it strictly business.
And it's difficult, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know any success stories where, like, you know, people completely distance themselves from, especially in a family business where, you know, definitely you have to keep things in check.
Right.
And that's the only way you have the balance. But it's kind of hard. You kind of want to give them a second chance because not everyone is on the same wavelength as you when it comes to the way you do business, the way you conduct things and your organization.
So I mean, you might have give them more chances because they're family and because they're nice. And that's kind of like a subconscious bias that you're going to have for them, and that's not something that you can really control. But it's at the same time, let's say you give a regular person 3 chances, you give your family member 4 chances. At the end of the day, if they continue beyond whatever the reasonable limit is, they gotta go, or they have to be reprimanded or demoted or blah 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 blah. What you figure out your solution, or they have to be praised for like the good things that they do. And it's I think it's only fair because when you have other employees who are non-family members, you can't not give them a raise because they did well, but they're not your cousin. But you give your cousin a raise because he did his job and he's your cousin or she's your cousin or whatever. You get what I'm saying? Like, the rewards and the punishment has to be doled out equally because you're punishing the position or the operator of the position. You're not punishing or praising your cousin or whatever. You know what I mean?
Okay. So when you're with your family, you know, before they even get roles or salary is discussed, I'm pretty sure you have a typical agreement. Like, you know, this will be what you'll be doing as part of the business. This is your function. This is your group. And this is a segment. And you also, you may have a conversation attached to it right away. Maybe not so.
The money talk is always the toughest one.
Toughest one, right? So my question to you is, when you do have these agreements, whether it's salary or just based on roles or what part of the specific business that they'll be running, do you put things in writing? Like, currently in your business right now,
you
have things in everything is writing.
Everything's on paper. I don't mess with the whole, like, you know, backyard handshake agreement. Might do that first, but best believe you're getting an email the following week.
So even with your immediate, like your father, everyone gets
everyone
it.
Has paperwork.
And how important would you say having things in writing is in this time and
age?
It's
about clarity. It's about, this is what you agree to. It's like, I don't want to hear, you know, 2.5 months from now, you know, you actually told me you're going to pay 64 or this, that, and the third. It's like, I got a piece of paper that's signed with your name on it, agreeing to these terms and conditions. You know what I mean?
But are you only putting things in writing when it comes to salary or actual role?
Everything under the sun. When you're onboarding your family member, some people just, they pay cash under the table. They do a whole bunch of other stuff. That's fine. But you should at least have them have some kind of contract, one-on-one, even if it's just, you know, individual between individual. It doesn't, maybe you want to keep them off the books of the business or whatever. You need something that says you're doing this job. You're getting paid this amount of money for this job. These are your responsibilities. This is what the reasonable deadlines are for anything that we ask you to do. Don't fuck up, you know?
And that's why I think also in my family situation, I think that's where the failure was, because we did so many things based on the handshake agreement. And, you know, that also plays into the time.
But, like, when it's your dad, you don't think your dad's going to screw you.
Right. Until he
screws you.
Until he gets married to someone else, and then...
Yeah, or... Yeah, and again, you can't blame him, because he probably didn't think that whoever he married or whatever happened was going to have a negative impact on his kids. He probably was just like, she'll be fine. You know, she'll be fine with them. She won't take their money, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. But that's why paperwork is good, because let's say even, like, let's say you work with your dad or your mom or whatever, right? You have as many backyard handshake agreements as you want, and everything's fulfilled. They don't screw you at all whatsoever.
Right.
But you still have that paperwork in hand. And let's say, like, you know, your dad marries somebody else, like in your grandfather's situation. She comes in, she starts trying to impact the business, saying, like, you know, Tyler, you should actually be doing this. It's like, no, this is the agreement that I have. Yeah. Right? So it helps you preserve... It helps you, in a way, preserve the relationships that you already do have with your family members in relation to the business, because then you can stop external forces from coming in and be like, well, maybe if you try this, or maybe if you do that, or blah, blah, blah. Because a lot of times people who are just saying this shit, when we're talking about family businesses, people who just, you know, go into the owner's ear or just say things,
mm-hmm.
don't know jack shit about what they're talking about.
And
they're just saying things.
That's where it becomes an issue, too. Because we don't have that, you know, it's sometimes you feel like it's not easy for people to infiltrate and screw up a family, but it's so easy when it's family,
it's like, no, I don't like this, or like, then maybe we should move this left. And you're like, right. Well, you know, they might not be evil, but they probably have good intentions. And then
that's
you do
just,
it.
Just, like, not to go too into it, but like, if you had, let's say your father owned the business, and it was like three of y'all in the business, and then he gets married to someone else. Something happens in that relationship that makes them split up, and then she's like getting half of that or whatever portion of that. And it's like you contributed nothing to it. That's just a sidebar, but I'm just
talking about infiltration
and, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, any number of possibilities can happen in a family business, and
right.
The problem is everything is more amplified because after whatever happens in the office, you see them at the barbecue backyard thing.
It always transitions somewhere else.
Auntie picks up the phone and is like, what you do with my son? what do you mean he's getting paid less now? What do you mean he got demoted? For what? Why'd you fire him? Or whatever. Or like, you know, family will love you more when you promote their kids, but love you less when their kid is doing the same job as somebody else and maybe not as well, and they don't get promoted. You know what I mean?
Right.
So people who are not in the business don't take into consideration the business considerations you have to think about when doing things. They just think, like, my son is working, he needs to get promoted. That's the end of the story, which is ridiculous.
He put in the years, he should get promoted. Just like a regular business. Just like a regular business.
Yeah, but that's stupid. You know, if you put in 100, if you put in 10 years as a janitor, that doesn't mean you should get moved up to manager. Right. How well are you sweeping the floors? How well are the bathrooms looking? Like,
but if you've been doing that one same thing for 10 years, you should also reconsider your.
People don't think about it like that. I'm just, the janitor example is a very simple example because it's like the results are tangible. Are the floors OD clean? Are the bathrooms OD clean? Are the soap dispensers always full? Is there always tissue? Like, you have to be above and beyond to get promoted. Don't expect just because you're my nephew and you're working for me, or you're my uncle and you work for me, that I'm going to treat you any different than somebody else. You get the entry-level salary that everybody else gets. You operate well, you get the bonus. You don't, suck a dick. Like, it's that easy. And I would say the same thing to somebody who's not a family member.
Mm-hmm. And for the people who be hearing this, I don't want you guys to feel like, based on what we're talking about, I don't want to discourage you from joining a family business because, you know, we always want to get people to fare.
No, I mean, it's not all bad because when it's good, it goes real good.
Right.
But
you also have to look at both sides, I guess. Be cautious. Yeah, be cautious. So let's transition into, I guess, the positive aspects of being part of a family business from what you have experienced. I think one thing on our ride here, you were talking about, you know, working with people who already been in the business for years, who have the experience, who have the knowledge, and can tell when someone is trying to finesse you. And I think that's the most important part of, you know, well, not, I wouldn't say most important, but it really adds another layer when your family knows the stuff and they know the business so long that.
And the thing is, like, they also have to be good at it.
Right.
That's the caveat, which is, like, you can have a million years of experience, but if you're, again, like the janitor example, you could be working for a million years as a janitor. You could be cleaning up for Jesus. But if you didn't do a good job, I'm saying, like, the student is only ever as good as the as his potential mixed with what the master can teach.
Mm.
You can surpass the master, but if the master shows you only wrong answers, you'll surpass him at being terrible.
Right.
Right?
Correct. I like the way you phrased
good, it. You'll surpass him in being good, or, you know, you'll equal out with him, his skill. So they have to be good at what they do first. But the benefit of working, and sorry, kind of late in the podcast, guys, but I'm a little bit under the weather. So, no, the benefit of working with a family member is that you have direct access to a mentor who could be very well willing to teach you much more easily than, you know, like, you know, some guy who's, you know, the VP of sales at the company, and he is just he's just there, and you have to impress him.
Right.
So, strategically, a family business for you as an individual operator can be very beneficial because you can kind of shortcut some things. One benefit, I guess.
I would say also from if you decide to make, you know, start your own business, I think being in a family business kind of gets you to understand different personalities and understand others' work ethic. I think that's something that's very important. I think it's like a first glance of what the work world is outside. It's just you, it's just with your family. And I think that helps a lot too when you, because then you get to evaluate what traits you like from your family that you'd want to see when you, if you do pursue your own business or ventures. And I think that helps a big part of it. Another thing I think also helps is building wealth for next generations. Being in a family business. It has to go
on somehow.
Yeah.
Eventually. Like I'm sure if Bill Gates' son wanted to take over, Bill Gates would have that person, you know, his kid, you know, daughter or son, start somewhere and start to take over the business, you know, if that was an option. Microsoft won't allow that now because, you know, they're a publicly traded company, so they have to make a different levels of decisions. But if you're at like a, you know, let's say a moderately like $2 million a year AC company, like your dad does, a $2 million a year AC company, and you guys are living good, and you're like, you know, Dad, I really think that I could help be of value to the business and stuff. If I was in that position to give my son that kind of job, I'd put him like at the worst job in that business.
Why?
Because he needs to learn every aspect of the business just like I did when I was starting the thing. Because when you yourself are starting a business, right? Let's say you do AC. That's the example business here. You have to learn to figure out customers, how to do billing, how to drive to customers, how to load the van, how to clean the van, how to clean the ducts, how to make sure that all your gases and pipes and stuff and meters are all working at operating temperatures. You have to know actually how to install the shit. Then you have to know how to, you know, do billing, payroll, blah, 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 blah. So if you start, it sounds kind of stupid, but you start your son at the very bottom, he learns every element of the business as he builds his way up. Then you could also monitor him for personality traits. Is he actually smart enough or sharp enough to want to take the business from 2 to 4 million? Can he actually operate at that level? Do you need to give him an intermediary mentor? Do you need to mentor him personally, monitor his progress? The other thing is it'll help him / her build relationships with the employees in the business. Because if I just one day walk in and say, my son's going to run the whole thing, fuck you, they're going to be like, well, I've never met the son. I don't know how he is. He could be a dictator. People won't like that. Right. But if you put him in a position where he puts in the groundwork, he's talking to the other employees, he's, you know, building relationships, he's understanding the other employees' work tactics. When he becomes the boss, eventually, he becomes a better boss. Plus, he's been in the trenches, so he isn't just pointing and screaming, why isn't this done, why isn't this
There's
like this, blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean?
Right.
Plus, it's fun. Watch the kids suffer for a bit.
So, let's give some...
pay your dues.
Listen to some examples of successful family business from the ones you know. I would say the Hiltons is one of them. You could disagree. I mean, but just maybe her face, the presence, her fame kind of helps it a little bit.
Her internet videos,
sex tapes, etc.
You all said play it. No, that does not help the hotel chain at all. Actually.
Kardashians.
That's a fam.
Let's give realistic ones.
That's one
ones.
Kind of family business. It's a very different kind of family business.
Kylie's a billionaire. It worked out somehow.
Yeah, something like that. Good for them. You know, there's actually a lot more examples than we like.
Let's give some.
Like Dell. Dell's a great example. His dad, you know, started the company. I believe Dell's a family run company, but I don't know if it's the dad or the older brother who started it or something like that.
And it's also important too to know like who's in it, because it might just be four family members that's running it.
Also depends on how it started, because it's like you could start the business with your dad,
mm-hmm.
and you guys started it together.
Right.
You know what I mean? It doesn't always have to be like one person starts it and then the other person takes over. You guys could have just done it together.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, one person's going to be much older.
Right.
And then you would take over the whole thing eventually. But so that's some good example. Dell is a good example, I guess. Sony, I think Bose was family run for a while. There's so many, like, I honestly don't know off the top of my head.
What about, I think Sony at one point is a family-ran business. I know a lot of the fashion companies, you know, they're family-owned for the most part. Yeah,
some Japanese, like, car manufacturers
as well. Isn't Jaguar a family-owned business?
No, Jaguar is owned by Jaguar Land Rover is owned by Tata in India.
I know. I know.
Tata's one of the biggest examples.
Right.
They've been a family business for centuries.
Right.
And now
they also acquired
Jaguar Land Rover.
They didn't acquire them, but they actually acquired another consulting company recently as well too. So they're doing big things.
Maybe. Yeah, but Tata is like the biggest family in India.
Right.
They run basically. They everything. Have their hands in everything.
Yeah, because they're like 20 buildings and everything in India as well.
Yeah, but they've been around since like the Tata family started
27 years ago, right?
What?
Oh, sorry.
They were around when, you know, there was no technology. They were you know, plowing fields and stuff as a family.
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
I know they're the biggest.
Been around the longest too. And they do something interesting also, actually, that most people would never do, which is they adopt a lot. And what they do is they'll take, like, a kid off the streets who is business smart. They'll adopt him and put him in a position of power within the business. So they'll put him as the CEO of the motor car company or as this or as that, as blah, 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 blah. Because they recognize the... you know, the bias that their family is going to have by being, you know, Indian billionaires.
Right.
So when you're born a billionaire, you're kind of blunted by the fact that, you know, you have that money is worth something.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because your entire life, you're just like, I want that. And, you know, it shows up at the door.
That's true.
They take kids who know what it's like not to eat several nights in a row. And then show them a way to eat forever. You know what I mean? And then they become part... Well, they get adopted, so they have resources then. But you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That internal hunger...
Right.
You don't get that if you've always been fed.
I like that. You've been good. You've been doing good with the phrases, man.
I've been taking antibiotics. My brain's back to normal.
Even that... You know, that's a side... side topic for later. I actually like that phrase. But I see what you're saying with them because... The whole approach to how they get people and
put them in
alignment for role, I think that is really a big part of why they've been so successful for a long time and branch into the consulting side, which I'm a part of now.
For all those who don't know, TCS is owned by Tata.
Right.
Which is why Tyler loves Indian people.
Yeah. The best. I mean, for many more reasons than that. I mean,
they got good food. We got good food, bro.
That too. Good food. I think that's when we talk about like
big sense of family.
Yeah.
If you're part of the community, big you're sense part of family. Community.
But I feel also maybe that's also for another time, but maybe in the Indian culture I feel like people are so family oriented, so that's why you see a lot more family business down there, would you say? Because
there's a greater sense of pride in having a successful family than just being successful by yourself.
Right. I put that in addition to, not to, sorry to cut you off, in addition to, like, let's say that you get a home. For me, like, I would probably want to move out after a certain age, whereas, like, maybe in Indian culture, everyone contributes to that one home and, like...
Yeah, or you usually... Well, in India, you... Like, if the family is a big enough family, like, people all contribute to the one house.
Right.
But it's usually, at that point, so big that, like... If you want to, you can never see the other people living there.
Right.
Like, you have your own section. It's not, like, one house. And it's not just for wealthy people. It's just, like, it's big. It doesn't have to be nice. It could just be big. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, and you can say millennials in general don't move out of their parents' house, but, you know, it's always been a big thing for brown culture. Like, you live with your parents.
Right.
You usually get married and bring your wife to your parents' house and you guys all live together.
Right.
But
I'm saying I see how that plays a part.
If you don't want to live with them, you usually live with them until you're financially set to buy a house, not to move into an apartment.
Right.
And I think that, you know, coming to America, that's a financial decision that people make. And, you know, some kids want to move out irrespective of the financial gain that they could have by living at home, which a lot of now non-Indian/Pakistani people are realizing, you know what I mean? Which is like, hey, live with my parents for 5 years. I don't have to get an apartment. I can buy a house.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I still have a job. I'll pay them, like, you know, $200 worth of rent. Like, something, like, throwaway money or something like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know what I mean? It's, and then you can buy a better car. You can do so many other things.
And that's why I say it works for them when they're in family businesses, because that mindset of, like you're saying, the example, like, how they translate that is remarkable. It's like, everyone is on the same understanding for the most part.
Once you establish that level of respect, that, like, okay, my children are working for me, but they know what they're talking about when it comes to the business stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That whole sense of, like, my son is, like, doesn't know what they're talking about, generally, that, like, older brown people have, is going to be, like, kind of like, wither away.
Yeah.
It depends on, obviously, family to family, so...
Right.
I think, though, now that you mentioned that, like, living at home and being in a business together, like, it's very important for you to have, like, time to yourself. Like, go find some friends. Like, just don't be stuck to your parents the entire time. Like, please don't just be hanging around your parents.
Yeah, be more like Maria and Tim and go out more.
No, don't put that in the podcast. Go get a slice of pizza with some people.
As you was talking about it, I'm like, wasn't this the guy that told me, like, instead of going out for one drink, I think about, like, that could be the hour I could be putting in my business, being home.
That's fine.
Being with my family.
That's fine. If you want to be with your family and you want to be putting time in.
Which I hope everybody do.
Yeah, but at the same time, if you only spend time with your family, there's a very... moderation, my friend. It's all about moderation.
That's true. I'm just messing with you.
I think... No, you weren't. Fuck you.
Are we going to give them suggestions or are we just going to...
No. Yeah, fuck it. Let's give you some suggestions. Let's take home tips.
Everyone, take out your notebooks.
You should have been taking notes a long time ago, by the way. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at
the
GPS to Success podcast. And, you know, show us some love. We're going to be trying to be basically every week consistent, even though... Excuse me, my schedule is getting real busy, and Tyler's a chicken, so we're going to try and get everything done on time, and if you can like, share, subscribe, let us know how you feel, any topics you want to talk about, if you want to laugh at how big my forehead is, or how uneven Tyler's forehead is, you can laugh about that on there, too.
That's very
we're here to be your friends and help you out, but... Before we close, why don't we give them some take-home tips?
I think from a business standpoint, I think having things, especially when you're doing a family business, having things in writing is very important. I think we harped on that a lot.
Number one.
I think Imran wouldn't be so successful if his paperwork wasn't right to begin with, right?
I know how to sell, too, but yeah, so, that's fine.
Also... We talked about being honest. You know, honesty is very important. I know sometimes it might be hard because it might be your mother that's, you know, kind of screwing things up for you. But you have as long as you're honest with whoever, that's very important for the business to be successful. Anything from your end? I know you talked about accountability as well.
Yeah, give criticism to the position, not the person. Try to eliminate the personal effect as much as physically possible and try to be as objective about the decisions, because being nice is cool and shit when it's not affecting your livelihood, your ability to help other people, you know, your employee's livelihood. Because if you let somebody get away with something, you know, family member or not, and they're taking away from your bottom line or your ability to operate as a business owner,
mm-hmm.
they're taking food out of their own mouths without them realizing it, because they'll be out of a job or the business will be gone and everybody's fucked. You know what I mean?
All right.
So you have a responsibility to the business as a whole to be objective to them and give them something of value. In terms of objective criticism, so that they can become a better operator of the business.
Are you getting emotional when you talk about your family? You're getting like little teary eyed.
I got coffee stuck in my throat. That's the biggest advice. Keep things on paper and try to have fun as much as possible. Like, business is fucking stressful.
So that means if you're going out with your friends for a couple nights, it's okay.
No, just going out with them for a few hours and going back home is fine. Nah, man, like, spend time away from the family, because if you guys work together as a family and business, then when you're not together, then when you are together and there's downtime, you're going to be thinking about the business as well.
All right.
So you need a way to basically fully unplug at that point. Because it's easy when you're in the business by yourself to just be like, I have business, then I have my family and friends. Mm-hmm. When you have family and business in one kind of block, then you don't have family and business as like, you know, you don't have your family as like a way to unplug. You just have family and business, and then you don't want to have nothing otherwise. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that's more the logical reason of why you should try to find some time away from family and friends. Family and business.
Great. Thank you for that. Thank you for sharing that.
I think that's about it for me. What about you, Tyler?
Yeah, I'm good. I think we dived into this. I don't know if we'll have some issues with our family later on.
I was
going to
say a joke, but just hold that for now.
So I want to thank you guys again. And I want to thank you, Imran, for, you know, bringing in your perspective on this. I think we fleshed it out as much as we could. Any feedback, we'll probably revisit this sometime when we talk about something else that relates to it.
Of course.
Yeah.
Let's get this done, guys. That was GPS to Success. See you next week. Peace.
Peace.